Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. We'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. He is the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Before I ask you a question, I'm going to tell you, the last time we met, man, it was a hot summer day. We're at Manning Passing Academy. It's not too much cooler today. Now, I think we're getting a winter blast tomorrow, but, man, you'd have to look at the calendar. You wouldn't know that it's November.
No, I'm ready for real football weather to hit down here, Mike. This is I'm not used to this. I'm from Michigan, man. I'm a Yankee down here on the Gulf Coast. This is not normal to me.
Jim, I'm going to bring up two guys to you. They played their high school football not far from where I live, because I still live on the bayou. But Kyron Lacy from Thibodaux High School at LSU today. And Savion Jones went to St. James, and then now is at LSU. Your thoughts on their progression this year? I'm impressed with Savion. When I first saw him, I think he was a sophomore at St. James. He was barely 200 pounds. I think when he left St. James, I don't think his second number was a 2. Then he got real big. And Pete Jenkins told me this last year. Mike, I messed up with him, but I needed bodies at defensive tackle. And then we moved him back to defensive end. I think he has quietly had a really good season for the Tigers at defensive end.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think both those guys, and then you throw Braden Swinson in there too. I think those three guys at LSU made a really nice jump, and I think Miles Frazier, the guard, made a nice jump as well. I think those guys all really helped themselves. Savion's a fun guy to watch. I do think he's more of a base end at the next level. If he's in a 4-3 base end, if he's in a 3-4. Odd front, I think he could probably hang at the 4-eye technique, 5 technique. But he's, the biggest thing is the motor. I mean, I don't know if you played like this in high school, but the guy just plays his tail off, and that makes him attractive to the Senior Bowl, because guys like that help themselves a lot down here. You get these NFL decision makers down here on the field with them, and they see the effort, and it draws you to them. And you turn on the tape, it draws you to them. So, he's improved his hand use. He's getting off blocks better. He's really had a good year. And Kyron Lacy, I think the biggest development there is just the catch consistency has been an issue in the past, and I think he shored that up quite a bit this year. It's been his turn. This was his turn to step up with Brian Thomas and I'm blanking on my boy. Malik Nabers. With those two guys going off the league, this was kind of Kyron's time to to kind of grab the mantle, and feel like he's had a good year as well.
One of the things, he did a camp with us in Thibodaux at Nicholls State, and he walked up to me before I even told him anything. He said, "I'm going to stop you from saying that I'm good for one drop a game." But he's had some games that you'll have that one drop in it. But he's gotten much, I agree with you, he's gotten much better, Jim, catching the football out front with his hands. He was a little bit of a body snatcher, to be honest with you. He catched that ball right up against his chest, and he tried to run with it, and then the ball would pop out of there. Braden Swinson's interesting because he didn't do squat at LSU a year ago. Nothing. I didn't see this coming, Jim. I'll be honest with you. He's an Oregon transfer guy. Whatever he got brought in with, now it has blossomed, and you can see his pass rush skills are very, very good. But he's the surprise guy for me on LSU on the defensive side of football.
They've done a great job. The new defensive staff, you know, getting more out of some of these guys than we've seen in the past. And Braden's one of them for sure. You know, if the draft were a year ago, had he come out in last year's draft, he wouldn't have been drafted. You know, and now he's probably played himself into that fourth roundish type area, which that's a big jump, man. You might, you know that.
That's,
I mean,
a huge jump.
You jump three full rounds in a year in the NFL draft. That's a significant jump. So, yeah, he's you know, he's not in that top tier of rushers. He's probably in that next tier down, but he's certainly a guy that, you know, a year from now, we're talking next year, Thanksgiving week, and he's on an NFL roster. I do think he's going to be in somebody's rotation, you know, in sub packages trying to get after the quarterback. So, yeah, he's another guy. There, like I said, there's been a handful of guys on that Tiger team that have helped themselves. In those three guys that we've talked about are certainly three of them.
One of the guys, too, I saw you gave the invite to Jack Besh when Jack signed here with Coach O. They were going to use him like a flex tight end. They thought that's where he would be best suited. And I don't want him running anchor on the 4x400-meter relay team, but he's a big target receiver. He knows how to get open. He can run routes extremely well. And he does a nice job of setting up a defensive back and gaining separation downfield. He's another guy. When he's going to go on a team, they're not going to get rid of him. He can do the little things very well, and he's a really good downfield blocker.
He's one of my favorite guys in the draft, Mike, in terms of, like, I didn't know a lot about this kid before the year. And to get into the tape this year, I do remember him at LSU. I do remember him. I think he led the team in receiving that COVID year, if I'm not mistaken. You're the LSU authority, not me. But I do remember this guy at LSU. I mean, they don't have a lot of white receivers at LSU, so I certainly remember this guy. But to see what he's done, like, I don't know what he's going to run a 40. I agree with your assessment of him. I don't know what the 40 time is going to look like. But to me, what he is, he's really good off the line of scrimmage. I mean, however fast he is, he hits top speed pretty fast. And that's, you know, in my time with the New England Patriots, we had a guy like that. Now, totally different body types because Jack's a big kid. He's 220-some pounds. But Wes Welker, you know, Wes Welker ran 4.7 flat coming out of Texas Tech, and that's why he went undrafted. But, you know, being around Wes for all the years that I was, you know, from 0 to 10 yards, I mean, this dude he got on top of people in a hurry. And that's what Jack Besh does. Yeah, he's had a great year. I think he's a finalist for the Biletnikoff or semifinalist for that award, and he's earned it. He's a really savvy dude. I don't think he gets out of the fourth round now, you know, and I think he's got a chance to go in the third. He's really, really put himself in a good position heading into this this breed.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Draft process.
If he can run better than I think he can, I think you're absolutely right. Now, again, I don't know how quick and fast he's going to run, but, he's a quality guy. Really hard-working young man, knows how to run routes, and he's going to really help an NFL team. I talked to Mark Schlereff about this, not yesterday, but a week ago, about bringing in so many, and you do a great job of it, compiling all these offensive linemen. Because I think we're looking at it, Jim, a little differently today. If you can run the football, control the clock, okay, all the sexy stuff with pitch and catch with the receivers and tight end, that's never going to be out of vogue. But you got to run the ball, and you got to have big men that can protect and run block. You guys have done a tremendous job the last couple years in bringing that talent to Mobile. And so what does it look like this year in comparison to, say, the last 2 years where it was pretty thick along that offensive line and they peeled off the board real fast?
Yeah, we did. I think we had 5 first-round offensive linemen last year and a bunch more on day 2. I do appreciate you saying that, Mike. But, this year's class is not to that level, not close, really. But it is a little better than I thought it was going to be. There's been some guys emerge and improve. The one position that's a concern, if you're a fan of an NFL team that needs a starting center, uh-oh, and you feel like you need to go and get one this offseason, you better start looking in free agency. There's maybe one or two guys, that our staff feels and the teams that we speak with, in our process that feel good about, drafting a guy and plugging him in. It's a really thin center class. There's a lot of backup level centers in this draft. There's not a lot of starting level centers. But I'll say that there are some good players at the guard position. The tackle position is going to be helped by a couple small school kids that have come on. And then a couple under the radar juniors that I don't think people are aware of and think they're going to leave. But a lot of what I do, Mike, and this is talk to the agent community. And this time of year, I'm trying to get a handle on which juniors are coming out because they can play in the Senior Bowl now. So some of the names that are coming across my desk are guys that, that are kind of catching us off guard. And then when we go watch the tape, we're like, wow, this kid's really a good player. Maybe he should consider coming out. So I think the guard and tackle spot is going to end up being okay. It's just the center class. You better hope you have one because there's not a lot of help in this year's draft.
And then the young man from Ohio State who I didn't think much of him leading into the season. I knew he was going to be their starter. Man, he really played well. Then he goes down last week to an injury.
Yeah, Seth McLaughlin, I hate it for him. You're right, Mike. I mean, these calls we do with teams, I talk to some friends around the league, the director level, assistant GM, GM level guys that they're like, man, if you would have read my report last year from Alabama, we crushed this guy. Yep. And this same conversation happened multiple times. And they're like, I almost had to recheck myself when I went into Columbus this year. Is it the same? Am I watching the same guy? So it's really too bad for Seth. He went from being a guy that wasn't going to be drafted a year ago, goes up to Columbus, and really played really. I mean, he was in consideration to be second, third center off the board, probably in that fourth, fifth round range. And so yeah, it's too bad. He I think it was an Achilles injury, so that's going to keep him out. But you hate it for him. But he's still going to get a chance to be an NFL player. You just wish he would have been able to go through this process healthy.
You keep tabs on college football so closely, and we see it in the SEC. That was a lot of debate. I know Nick Saban wanted all the SEC teams to play 10 other SEC teams. The big debate was would they go to 9. After what I see this year, Jim, there ain't no way. You staying with 8 with the cannibalization that you see in the SEC, everybody chewing on one another, and I'll be honest, that any given Sunday, now it's any given Saturday. When you play in SEC football, that's how competitive it is. And that's what makes the last couple weeks of the season so intriguing for everybody.
Yeah, you use the right word, Mike. I mean, I haven't thought of it that way. The cannibalization. I like that term because that's what's happening right now in the SEC. I always look at this thing through an NFL draft prism. That's where all my eyes go. And again, when you look at it every year, which teams are usually there in the end of the four team playoff? It's the teams with the most NFL prospects on them. I mean, last year Michigan had the most NFL guys drafted, and they won the national championship. This year, we sent more invites to Columbus, Ohio than any other school. We sent 11 up there. The next most was Georgia with 6. So if that tells you anything, we think Ohio State's winning the national championship, or at least they should, you know, if you're basing it off talent versus talent. But yeah, the SEC, I mean, I think you could, the teams you wouldn't want to see, if you're not, you wouldn't want to see Ole Miss in the playoff. They've got an NFL front four. You wouldn't want to see Georgia in the playoff. I mean, they've got NFL dudes everywhere. Tennessee, you don't want to face them if you're one of these other schools from another conference, because they can heat up the quarterback like schools in other conferences can't. So, that's the tough part. You know, you put LSU and some of these other conferences, they're probably running away with it. So, the SEC, and again, I've lived down here for 18 years. I've been scouting for 25 years, and year in and year out, the SEC puts, it's usually around 25% of the draft. About a quarter of the draft every year is SEC guys. So, I agree with you. They certainly shouldn't be adding more SEC games. If three losses gets you out of the playoff, they certainly don't need to add any more SEC games to the schedule.
Last question for you, Jim. And I was disappointed in watching him early. I watched him closely at Manning Passing Academy, and that was Carson Beck. I thought he was aiming the ball. He was putting balls, and they were almost falling in front of a receiver. Now, the last couple weeks now, he has started to heat up, and that's the guy I remember a year ago. And that's the guy I thought we'd see early in the season. And I think if there's a quarterback, and people certainly looking at Cam Ward, and he's made a great jump up the boards. Shadeer Sanders is, I think most people's number one. But if there's one guy that can make a huge jump and he makes Georgia scary, it's Carson Beck. If he plays like he has the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no question. Carson was our top quarterback on the board coming into the fall. And for whatever reason, he's had a lot of spotty patches here. You know, he's turned the ball over in streaks. Now I had a good conversation with Carson at the Manning Academy. I was frankly worried he was going to play himself like Jaden Daniels did last year in a position as a lock top five pick where we wouldn't end up with him in the Senior Bowl. And I don't know, maybe he's pressing. Don't really know. You know, I talked to Kirby Smart about it last week about Carson and what's going on. But the good part is, if you're an evaluator, he is bouncing back. You know, the last couple of weeks have been good. The first half against Alabama was tough, but he bounced back in that game. Like, there is some bounce back to this kid. So the good news for Carson, and if you're Carson and his family, if they can get into the playoff, which I think they should, if they can beat, kind of a pesky Georgia Tech team, he's got a lot of big stage games to make an impact with NFL teams. The NFL is going to be really focused on this 12-team playoff. They're big stage games, hostile environments, a lot on the line. And those are big games for quarterback evaluation. So, we thought he was the most improved college quarterback in last year. You know, going into last year's game, he and Jaden Daniels, I thought, were the two most improved quarterbacks. And he just didn't pick up where he left off. So, but again, there's still time. This is going to be a big December, a big January for him.
And you can win the offseason, too. Go to the Senior Bowl, and you can win the offseason. Come on, Jim, you've That's seen right. that. You've seen guys do that.
Every year. No, that's why it's easy for me to sell this game, because I know the impact it can have on these guys and their careers. And I tell everyone, it's one thing for a scout like me to go into a draft room and pound the table for a guy, but it's a whole different level of buy-in when the GM and the head coach see him in Mobile. Trust me, I've lived that life for 20 years. Like, I've loved certain players, but the GM hadn't seen him or the head coach hadn't seen him in person, and it's just a little more difficult. So, I mean, these head coaches and GMs are just normal guys. They all started somewhere. And they're all just human. It's human nature. We want to surround ourselves with people we're familiar with. So that's my selling point to all these agents. I don't care if your guy's a first-round pick. He can still go higher in the first round, and it's impactful when you're Mike Tomlin and you're walking around the Senior Bowl practice field for a, you know, for 3 days, and these guys are doing good stuff in front of you. It's impactful for him. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But we got Cam Ward signed up this week. We're excited about that one. And Mike, we appreciate you having me on the show, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Thanks so much, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Always great to have you on. Tremendous insights. Thank you, buddy. That was Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. And, man, you talk about the NFL congregating in Alabama.
Oh.
One time of the year, and they're there, brother. They're there in full.